Today I'm talking about the wheat and the tares, or described in some Bible versions, the wheat and the weeds. So I want to read that and just explain some things about it. There's some misconceptions about this parable, and so that's what I want to talk about today. We're reading from the New Living Translation. This is in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and then later passages. So it goes this way. It says, here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? The enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. Should we pull out the weeds? They asked. No, he replied. You'll uproot the weeds if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles, and burn them, and put the wheat in the barn. So there's the parable. So Jesus explains this parable later on in verses 36 of the same chapter. It says, then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field. Jesus replied, the Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear, listen and understand. So it sounds like that's straightforward, but I hear often from pastors, from people who've been taught by pastors, that wheat and tares or wheat and weeds grow up in the church, that the church is full of weeds as well. And you have to deal with it and tolerate that in the church. And that's not what the scripture is teaching here. It says that the field is the world. The field is not the church. The pastor is teaching people that the field is the church. And within the church, you got weeds, you got wicked people, and then you got the saints. That's not what the church is about. The church doesn't have that in. Now, we'll talk about false brethren creeping in and trying to do stuff, but Church of God is always eliminating external threats that are trying to come in and pollute the body of Christ. They're always doing it. So what I want to expose to you all is that people who teach that are pretty much trying to justify sin in the church, saying that you just got to tolerate so-and-so's wicked behavior who's unrepentant. And this is the way it is because we have tares in the church. No. That's not what scripture is teaching here. The field is the world. Okay? The tares are not in the church. The tares are in the world. And the wheat, or the good people, the saints of God, the people of the kingdom of God, are in the world, but they're not of the world. See, we're not mixed in with that. Okay? And then the kingdom encompasses the world and the church. So what I'm trying to create a picture for you here. You got the entire kingdom of God who encompasses the world. The world is inside the kingdom. At the beginning of this series, I talked about how the kingdom of God is set up. It has the world within it. Satan's world, the world he created within it. Okay. And it, within his world are saints and there are people of Satan. So you got those two people in there. Going back to this parable, originally, the Son of God planted good seed, okay? And then amongst those, that field in the world, Satan planted his seed. The field is the world, not the church. And I'm going to show you how we're supposed to deal with people that come into the church that are not of God, who are trying to create divisions and stuff like that. I'm going to go back to scripture here. This is found in Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, then 14 years later, I went, this is Paul, back to Jerusalem again. This time with Barnabas and Titus, I came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of the church and shared with them the message that I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement, for fear that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. And they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, though he was a Gentile. Even that question came up along only because of some so-called believers there, false ones really, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations, but we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. So we see here that false brethren, in other versions of the Bible, that's what they're called here. Fake Christians, false ones, whatever you want to call them here. They snuck in and they tried to spot their liberty and their freedom, and they tried to enslave them, bring them back under Jewish law. This is what's happening now. If you go to certain churches, the black Hebrew Israelites are coming right up in there, and they're trying to put people under the law. And so we got to deal with people like that. But he says here in verse 5, but we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. So any leader of the church of God, true pastors, true apostles, prophets, we will recognize these people and we'll get rid of them. That's how it works. They don't stay there. There is no church of God with a bunch of sinners and wicked people in there just kind of hanging around. They're there to mess things up, but a true pastor is going to recognize them, remove them. So this whole idea of there being some kind of a church where there's wheat and there's tares mixed in is not what the Bible's saying, and that's not what we should be believing. You may be living next to a neighbor that's not born again. They're practicing wickedness while you're practicing righteousness. That's the world. That's the field he's talking about. He's not talking about when you go to church or when you practice fellowship with your other brothers in your house and there's tares in there. No, there's no tares in the church. Now, we're going to talk about people creeping in, and we're going to continue on in scripture. And we're going to talk about what they did with them. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. It says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. There are people who are religious, but they don't have no power to overcome sin. And they're rejecting that power, which is the Holy Spirit. He's saying, for such people, stay away. Get away from them. This is what the true saints do. You know, a lot of us, we are now like fellowshipping in our homes, or we don't have an actual church fellowship or building we go to because of that. We realize, wait a minute, this place is full of tares. It's full of weeds. It's full of people of Satan. You know, so he says here to stay away from such people like that. So that's how it works. The church doesn't allow weeds or tares in the church. It's not full of that. Here's another scripture. 2 John 9 through 11. It says, anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. Anyone who encourages such people become a partner in their evil work. Here's another command. Certain people who are not practicing the faith, not teaching the truth, don't receive them. This is how true saints deal with people.
They'll come in and try to mess us up, but we're going to block them. We're going to say, I ain't dealing with you. You can't come up in here. We reject you because of your behavior and your habitual practices of sin. We're not dealing with you no more. You got to stop. You can't come in here with that. Okay? Here's another in Titus chapter 3, verses 10. It says, If people are causing division among you, give a first and second warning. After that, have nothing to do with them. Once again, you know churches. Some of us have grown up in churches where so-and-so don't get along with so-and-so. And there's a great division within the church. Some people are sitting over on one side of the church. Some people are sitting on the other side of the church. This is division. Somebody's causing that. You usually know who's doing it. Yet, if nobody's dealing with that, they're not following Scripture. The true church follows Scripture. They don't deal with people who cause division. They remove those people. They said, give them a first warning and then a second warning. And after that, have nothing to do with them. So once again, the true church does not have tares and people causing divisions and all that stuff. Here's another one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they received from us. Once again, is the church allowing tares in there and having tares? No, they're not doing it. They're not doing it. They're not allowing this stuff to happen. The church does not have tares in it like that. They don't have weeds in there. Here's another one. Romans chapter 16, verses 17 says, and now I make one more appeal. My dear brothers and sisters, watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. We're talking about teachers. He's mentioning teachers. He's mentioning people. Look, if this is affecting your faith, causing divisions once again, then we got to deal with that. And those people are usually removed, if not exposed and called to change their ways. And if they're not, they kicked out of there. The church does not receive or deal with people like this. The church does not have tares and weeds just hanging around and just mixing in, you know. Overall, as Scripture is exposed back to this parable, the tares, they kind of look like wheat. And that's why Jesus says, wait till they grow up. And at the harvest time, all of us will be revealed as to who we really are. But I just wanted to make this clear that the church is not full of weeds. It's not mixed in 50-50. You got some weeds over here and you got, you know, the wheat over there. That's just not of God. It's not of God. And anybody teaching that, they're pretty much allowing for their church to be filled with sinners. And this is what they're teaching now because they want to justify the sin in the church. Well, this is the way it is. You know, we just got to deal with this and put up with this. No, that's not what God is about. He's clearly telling us in multiple scriptures that certain people who practice certain things got to get removed. They got to get put out. We don't have that in the church. There's another scripture in 1 Corinthians, I think. One of the Corinthians letters. I can't remember right now, but he said it's like leaven. You know, it messes the church up. It's going to spread and mess up. So why would God allow the church to have tares in there? He's not. So this parable is about the world. The world is full of wicked people and it's full of saints. The church is not of the world. We talked about that being the elect and we talked about what that meant. So I just want to be clear about that. Until next time, be born again, walk in the Spirit, and be blessed.